is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. You know, we do have a problem in the world today that some people want to think more highly of themselves than others. You find that out in the world a lot, you know. Oh, I'm more important. Everybody should move over and let me by because I'm the important person. Get out of my way in line. I'm important, you know. Or I've got to be treated special because I'm important. And unfortunately, we sometimes have that in church as well. There are sometimes people who think, well, I deserve the best seat in church because I'm important. And I, you know, they should cater to me this way or that way because I'm important. And I realize, and in certain circumstances, you do make exceptions for certain things. And I remember a particular church in Pasadena, California, that had reserved parking right next to the entrance. And it said, reserved for doctors. Oh, man, if you're a doctor, you get a special parking spot. But then there were some little lines below it said, doctors who are on call. Yeah. So I understand when you make exceptions for people like these are doctors that wanted to go to the service, but they were on call and they might have to leave, so they wanted them to have a space that was close to the door that would help them out so that they could attend the service. So you look at things like that and say, well, yeah, you need to sometimes make allowances for this, but some people say, well, I should have the best parking space, I should have the best seat, I should have the best that, you know, the pastor should treat me special because I put more money in the offering, whatever. But we're not. We're all important in the sight of God. So we need to look at what God has given us and to think of ourselves not more highly than one another. And you sometimes say, well, I'm better than that person. But no, not in God's sight. But he goes on in verse 4. He said, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Think about it. Look at your own body. Hands. Feet. Ears. Eyes. Hair. Fortunately, all of us that are here this morning still have our hair. Although some of us are losing it a little faster than others. But we have the different parts of our body, and the different parts of our body have different functions. Our hands do not hear. Our toes do not see. But they have a function. The function of our feet and our toes are for us to be able to walk. The function of our hands is for us to be able to grasp stuff and to perform tasks. The function of our ears is to be able to hear what's going on around us. The function of our eyes is to see what's going on around us. But they all have functions. They're different parts, but they have functions. And they all work together that we are what we are. So he goes on here and says, so we being many are one body in Christ. We're the body of Christ. But goes on to say, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So we're our part of the body of Christ, but yet we're individuals. And as individuals, we have different functions within the body of Christ. Some folks, like Anthony, can sing. And some folks, and I won't name any names, can't sing. You know? You know, we'd almost pay to not hear them sing. But that's a gift. But a lot of times when we're talking, though, about gifts in church, what do we think about? We think about the spiritual gifts. And the Bible talks about the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 1 through 10. And he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles," because he's writing to the Corinthians. They weren't Jews, they were Gentiles. They were the heathen in the minds of the Jews. He says, "But you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. However you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." And he goes on to say, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord." And let's stop right there about ministries. You know, some people, as they were younger, maybe in their ministry just starting out, they'd say, "Well, I want to be a preacher like so-and-so. You know, because he did this or he..." I got news for you. You're most likely never going to be a preacher like so-and-so was, you know. Then people used to say, "I want to be a preacher like Billy Graham," you know. But you know what? God called Billy Graham to be Billy Graham. He called Oral Roberts to be Oral Roberts and some of these others to be who they are. But he called you to be who you are. Because let's face it, there are folks that none of those people we think of that are big name, important preachers, there are people that will not listen to them, would never turn them on if they were on the radio or television, would never go to one of their crusades. But you have the opportunity to reach them. So there are differences in ministries. No two ministries are exactly alike. Well, let's go on and see what else he has to say here. "And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." Here he's talking about the spiritual gifts. And it would be great to have all of the spiritual gifts manifested in your life. But that usually doesn't always happen. And when you get into the body of Christ and into the church, you will find that that manifestation of gifts may be spread out over a number of people. Some will maybe express the gift of prophecy. Some may express the gift of tongues. Some the gift of interpretation of tongues. Some the gift of healings. Because God has given us different gifts. Why do we have different gifts? Because we're each different individuals. We have different personalities. All you got to do is look around and say, "Hey, everybody here is different." You know? And even if you're part of the same family, you're still different. You have different traits, different actions, and the way you do things. So God made us all different. So with the spiritual gifts, yes, he passes out those spiritual gifts, so to speak, differently to each individual. Some may have this gift, some may not have it. But I want to go back to Romans again. But if you turn to Corinthians, just kind of hold your place there, because we're going to go back to Corinthians again in a moment. Because going back to what he said in chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, "For we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. As members of the body of Christ, each one of us here has special gifts that God has given us." And what are those gifts? Well, it may not even be one of the spiritual gifts that we were talking about there in the book of Corinthians. But you have gifts, you have talents. Sometimes we call it talent rather than gift. Now this morning Anthony sang for us because that's a gift that God has given him to play. musical instruments to sing. And Anthony blessed us with those gifts this morning. But others of us have gifts to do other things. There's some people here that have the gift to sing that don't sing. That should, because God has given you a gift. Some that don't have the gift of singing, God has given you a gift in a different area. Some have the gift of teaching. Some have the gift of working with small children. You know, let's face it, I've never been a person who could be work around small children because, you know, I don't know how to handle them sometimes, you know. It's tough enough, you know. You can't whop them upside the head, you know. Although sometimes you feel like it. No. But we have gifts. There are people that have a talent for working around children. They can reach them. If I go back and teach a small child a Sunday school lesson, he'd probably walk out not a whole lot better than he was with. But there are other people who can go back, and that child will pay attention to what they had to say, and they will retain what they had to say. Because God blessed that person with a gift to go in and reach small children. Some have a gift of writing. Some have a gift of public speaking. Some have a gift of handiwork. People don't think about that in the church sometimes, but that's a needed thing. It's amazing how much money a church can save, for example, if you've got a person in the church that's got that gift of handiwork, and they can build things. You know, if you were to look in a catalog for church furniture, for example, you'll find one thing. Church furnishings aren't cheap. They're expensive. But if you have a person that's got a gift of handiwork, sometimes they can build that same item for a fraction of the cost of what it would be if you went out and purchased it. It's a gift, it's a talent that God has given them. And no, they may not have an ability to do anything else sometimes, but that's a gift that God has given them, and they use that gift for the glory of God. It's just one of the gifts that God has given. So we need to use the gift that God has given us. And the question is, are we using the gift that God has given us? You know, back in 1 Corinthians again, he goes on in verses 29 through 30, and he says, are all apostles? Well, no, not all are apostles. Are all prophets? And I know that in recent years, there's been a lot of people running around, must be a prophet. You know, it's easy to just stick the word prophet in front of your name. Well, I'm prophet so-and-so. You know, put that on your business card. But you know what? You're only a prophet if God calls you to be a prophet. So unfortunately, there are a lot of self-called prophets out there today, because they like the title in front of their name. But God didn't call us all to be prophets. Are all teachers? No. Some of us have to be students. So we're not all teachers. Are we all workers of miracles? Oh, by a long shot, no. We're not all workers of miracles. Do all have the gift of healing? No. Yet within each one of us, there are times when we'll go up and we'll pray for somebody and God will work a miracle in their life. But do we really have what we would consider the gifts of healing? No. But God answers our prayers many times and brings about a healing in people's life. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Because God has given certain gifts to certain people. And it's the same way with our gifts in the natural. He has given different talents, different things that we can do to each individual. Now, some of you may not have some of these spiritual gifts that I've talked about. Because you see, Paul, in both his letters to the Romans and the Corinthians, he mentions spiritual gifts, but that still doesn't mean that everybody necessarily has them. But you do have the God-given gifts and talents that he's given you as an individual. And these talents are a part of you as an individual. You know, there are a lot of people out there that, and I'll throw this one out because everybody knows this person, but there are a lot of people out there that want to sing like Elvis. And they want to look like Elvis. And they want to impersonate Elvis. And, you know, we had a guy come here to the church one time that that was how he had made his living in the past, was an Elvis impersonator. He didn't look a lot like Elvis, but I'll tell you one thing, when he sang, if you heard him on a recording in particular where you couldn't see him, you would have thought you were listening to Elvis, you know. But God made all of us different, you know. And though we may sing, each one of us sings differently. And though we may teach, we teach differently. And though we may preach, we preach differently. And whatever gift that God has given, you're going to do it different than somebody else because God has given you a gift that is your gift alone. Because you're an individual within the body of Christ. And that gift is affected by what? Your personality, your being, who you are. Think about teachers, for example. When you went to school, I know some, it's hard to remember back that far when you went to school. And some of you think, oh no, that comes tomorrow. You know? But there were certain teachers that you went to school and you just hated to go to that class because that teacher's personality was the pits. You know? You went and you struggled to learn. And he might have, as far as knowing the subject, been the best teacher there. And you might go to another class with a different instructor, same subject, and maybe his qualifications aren't quite really as good as that other teacher who had the terrible personality. But you went in there and this guy's personality just grabbed you and you paid attention to what they had to say. You hung on their every word. And you ended up actually learning more about the subject from them than you did the more qualified teacher because the personality kept your attention. It grabbed you, it held you, and you paid attention to what they had to say. Ever been to a class where the teacher just got up and he basically read the lesson? Yeah. And how many of you went to sleep? Or almost asleep? Yeah, probably all of us have done that, you know. You see, all you can do to stay awake. Oh, man. Kick yourself in the side or something. Stay awake. You know, pinch. Oh, I gotta stay awake. Bonk, your head hits the desk, you know, because it was boring. But when they had personality, you listened to what they had to say. So the gift that you have is also dependent upon your personality sometimes. But God has given us gifts. He's given us things to do for him. And we need to explore and we need to examine and we need to reach out with the talents and the gifts that God has given you. And I know there's always going to be somebody say, well, I haven't got any talents. I haven't got any gifts. You ever hear anybody say that? I don't have any talent. I can't sing. I can't play musical instrument. I can't do public speaking. I can't teach. And they'll go through the whole litany of things that they can't do. I don't have anything. I'm not blessed then, I guess, because I don't have any of these things. But God has given something for everybody. It's just like the little church function we went to last night. There was a gift for everybody. You know, you didn't walk away empty-handed. If you did, it was your own fault. Because there was a gift there for you. And we're not walking away as a member of the body of Christ empty-handed unless we choose to do that ourselves. Because God has given something, a gift to every person. You say, well, what is that? You know, I have no talents. And let's face it, you may feel like you're the biggest doofus that ever lived. How many think the word doofus is in the dictionary? It really is. I checked it. And you may feel like you're the biggest doofus. And I didn't write down the definition because you really don't want to hear the definition of a doofus. I mean, they're pretty far gone. But you may feel that way sometimes. I'm the biggest idiot that ever lived. I'm the biggest good for nothing that ever lived. And that's still not quite the definition of doofus there. But you may feel that way. But God has a gift that even you can master. It's a gift that everybody can have. I've known some folks that over the years that, you know, people thought they were rowing upstream with one oar missing and the other just barely skimming the water, you know. That they were, I don't know, what is there, 52 cards in a deck, and they were short about 40 of those cards. You know, people like that. That's what the people thought about them. You know, they really thought that they didn't have a lot to offer. But I believe today that I stand here before you 60 years after the event. I stand here before you because there was a person that people thought was many cards short of a full deck who came and prayed for me one day when I was essentially dying. But God heard their prayer. Because you see, they sincerely believed that God could do what He said He could do. It was as simple as that. They had that simple childlike faith. Yeah, God said He could do it. I believe it. And they prayed that prayer of faith. And healing began that hour. Because they prayed for me on Saturday. And healing began. And by Sunday, I was noticeably different. And by Monday, I was well onto my way to recovery. For an event that was taking my life from me slowly but surely. But here was somebody that a lot of the people in the church thought had no value. But they had a gift from God. They knew how to touch God. And I've known other people like that. I knew a young man years ago that I told him, I said, if I get sick, don't call Oral Roberts. Because that was back when everybody called Oral Roberts if they got sick, you know. Call Oral Roberts, I can get a miracle if you call him. I said, don't call him, call Ed. Because I know if Ed prays, I'll get healed, you know. And yet, he was one of those same kind of people that people thought, you know, he had no real talent to offer the body of Christ. But he had a gift that he could touch God. So God has given us a gift. And you say, well, yeah, but I'm really not that kind of a person even. I mean, you know, I've got all my cards. You know, I got both oars in the water. I just don't have these other abilities, you know. What kind of gift is it that God might have for me? In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12:31, here's what Paul writes to the Corinthians. He says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And he's talking about what? The spiritual gifts here. Desire the spiritual gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. And that ends chapter 12. But you see, with those words in verse 31, he launches into what in our Bible becomes chapter 13 and verse 1, where he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. You've heard of people like that. Oh, they were such a great orator. They spoke as if they were an angel. They have such a great gift. And he says, even if I have this, but I have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanking cymbal. He says, I can have all of these gifts. But if I don't have love in my heart, if I don't have that gift of love, I'm a clanking cymbal. I'm a terrible racket, essentially. You know, there are certain sounds, you know, that just grate on your nerves. Anybody have that happen to them? You know, you just hear certain sounds and it just, oh, you know, I got to find that sound and destroy it. You know, get rid of that sound. And there are certain sounds that just really irritate me, you know. And, you know, I tense up. My nerves get on edge because I hear those sounds. Well, that's kind of what he's talking about there. If you don't have love, that's kind of the way you are, even though you have all these great gifts. And people know when you have love. I've seen some ministries in the past that were touted as great ministries. And yet I heard things said by the individual who made me feel I didn't want to listen to or believe a word they had to say, necessarily. Oh, I knew that they were preaching the gospel and that was the truth, but what I'm saying is, you know, I really didn't have any interest in their message because they had made some statements that were not statements made in love. It made me say, I don't even really want to listen to them. Oh, they were a great orator. They drew big crowds. But they didn't have that gift of love, I don't think. And I know I'm not going to mention any names or incidences here. I started to, but I'm not going to. But love is a gift that we all can have. You've run into some people, I'm sure, in your lifetime that were people you thought hated everyone. Stay away from that person, man. They hate everybody. Yeah. I think there used to be a commercial on TV about the give it to so-and-so because he hates everything or he likes everything, whatever it is. But, yeah, Mikey hates everything. Was that it? Yeah. Yeah. You say, well, stay away from that person, man. They hate everybody and everything, you know. But we can have love in our life. And we may not be able to sing. We may not be able to teach. We may not be able to preach. We may not have the gift of tongues. We may not have the gift of interpretation. We may not have any of these things. But we got love in there. And that love can be the greater gift. Paul said, desire the best gifts. But I show you a more excellent way. Even though you desire these gifts, I show you a more excellent way. Have that gift of love. If you've got that love in your life, if you've got that love in your heart, it's going to reach out to people. People know when there's love there. They sense it. They feel it. And you can hear them sometimes. They're such a loving person. They're such a loving person. Love reaches out to people when nothing else will. You show them that love. And true, you may be that blundering doofus as far as the world sees. But if you got that love, people know that there's something, even though you've got that going against you, that love is there. And it attracts them. They feel it. They know, just like little kids. Little kids know when they're loved and when they're not loved. You know, adults, sometimes we become calloused and I don't care. I don't care if anybody loves me. I'll make it on my own. You know, but down inside, we all desire that feeling of love, that somebody somewhere loves us. And sometimes it's not the fact that the preacher preached a great message or the Sunday school teacher taught a great lesson that leads the person to Jesus Christ. It's the fact that somebody just sat there and showed them a little love. And they realized that love is a love of God. The love that God is showing through them. A couple of years ago at Christmas time, in fact, it was almost 2 years ago at Christmas time, Mary wrote a little chorus that we sang at the Christmas party. And some of you here might remember it. But it went like this. Love is the greatest gift of all. Love is the greatest gift of all. For God so loved us, He gave His only Son. Love is the greatest gift of all. Love is the greatest gift of all. Love is the greatest gift of all. His love is filled with mercy, joy, and peace. It's a gift to all who will receive. Love is the greatest gift of all. It's a gift He's given us. All we have to do is receive it. Yeah, unfortunately, folks, He's not going to give all of us the gift of great oratory, that we'll be able to get up and speak and people will listen. He's not going to give all of us the gift of teaching. He's not going to give all of us some of these other gifts because we're all different people. But one thing He does give us is the gift of love. He goes on, love is the greatest gift of all. Love is the greatest gift of all. For God so loved us, He gave His only Son. Love is the greatest gift of all. And that's the thing, the gift that we all can have, the gift that we all could experience is God's love. And the gift that we can share with others is the love of God that's in our life. So if you can't teach, if you can't preach, if you can't sing, if you can't hold a note in a bucket, you can show love. And you know what? I've heard people in the past that got up and sang, and let's face it, they couldn't hold a note in a bucket. Besides, the bucket had a hole in the bottom. But they sang with the love of God. And they sang because they loved God. And it didn't matter that their notes were sour. People wept because they felt the love of God. They were moved because they felt God's love being shown in that individual. The gift that God has given us. Now we're individuals, but there's one gift that we all can share, and that's the gift of love. Father, I thank You today for Your mercy, for Your kindness, and for Your love. And Father, I just pray that as people have heard this message today, Father, if there are those that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, wherever they may be, Father, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart and help them to realize that God's love is reaching out to them and that He loved them so much, loves them so much, that He not only sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins, but Father, it's available to each and every one of us because of His love. No matter who we are, no matter what we've done, He wants to save us because of His love for us. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to hearts today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Praise Your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus.